Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Men are performance-oriented. Men want to go do something. That's why the front cover of any male magazine is a performance statement. How to fix that carburetor in 30 minutes. How to shoot that deer with one shot. How to catch that bass on the first cast. Performance. That's what men want. They want to go do something, get it done, move on to the next thing. But women are not performance-oriented. They're relationship-oriented. So if you read the front cover of any female magazine, it's a relationship statement. One of my favorite ones on a female magazine one time in the grocery store was, "Does he love his mother more than he loves you?" And three women were reading that article. Now, men, they could care less. They don't care. They want to go get something done. So two worlds come together. Eyesight's different. Men have long-range vision. Women have peripheral vision. Men are better night drivers than women are. A man's four times more likely to be broadsided than an accident because he can't see it coming. That's why a wife, when she's riding on the passenger side of a vehicle, will tear that dashboard apart. "You're about to hit. Look out, where you going? What are you doing?" And so, "Man, shut up. Woman, you're driving me crazy." Well, he can't see it, ladies. But almost all women have almost 180-degree peripheral vision. God did that for them, I think, so they know where the kids were at all times. That's why women are, "Where are the kids? Where are the kids?" Men don't care where the kids are unless they're not in front of him. And so we think different. We hear different. We see different on purpose. So instead of getting irritated at it, let's learn how to use it. You don't use your strength to crush your spouse's weakness. You use it to cover their weakness. And so both of you learn how to help one another. But men need honor. That's why if a man's a good deer hunter, he'll live in the woods. If he's a good bass fisherman, he gets honor from bass fishing, he'll live on the lake. If he gets honor because he's good at work, he'll stay at work. If he gets no honor when he goes home, he won't go home. He needs honor. Even young males in school know that, and they may not be able to pronounce it, but I've seen kids in the kindergarten classroom one time. School's been going on a couple of weeks. I'm going in to evaluate this teacher. She's taught them just enough to make them dangerous, and she asks, "Okay, we have a little contest today, this side of the room versus this side, or the boys versus the girls." Well, males will come out of their desk in kindergarten. It's not because they love academics. They love honor. They like looking good. Teacher throws out a question. Males will come out of there. They'll rock. "I got it. I got it. Call on me. Call on me. I got it." And a teacher will call on a male many more times than a female just to shut them up. And I watched this teacher calling this male who is rocking his desk. His hand was up. Now listen, if this young man was not 100% convinced he had the answer to that question, his hand would not be up. Men need honor, even five-year-old men. And so his hand's up, and he's rocking that desk back and forth. "I got it, I got it, I got it." And teacher, "Yes, Johnny, what's the answer?" And he yelled it. "A is the answer." And he was so sure. And she says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny, wrong answer. Who else has an answer?" And that young boy went down like the Red Baron in flames. You could see it. I mean, depression hit him. He just like sunk in his desk. And other alpha males in kindergarten turned on him. "Man, you're stupid." And you can see him tear up like, oh my goodness, he never would have raised his hand had he not known the answer because he's looking for honor. Now, girls, they don't need honor. They just like to participate. And so all of a sudden, the little girl across the room has her hand up, sitting there real quiet. "I have an answer. I have an answer." And the teacher said, "Yes, Susie, what's the answer?" And she said, "The answer is B. B's the answer." And the, "Oh, I'm so sorry, wrong answer. Oh, I have another answer. I have another answer." And that's why girls do better than boys early in elementary, because girls don't need honor. They just like to participate. You send them out on a playground the first day of school. Boys don't talk. They might wrestle, throw a rock at each other. They're not talking. Girls talk like they've known each other all their life. That's why a three-year-old girl has twice the vocabulary of a three-year-old boy. She's born that way. That's why boys outnumber girls 13-1 in remedial reading classes in public schools, because our speech patterns don't develop to years later. And so all of a sudden, boys around third or fourth grade become a pain in school because they realize, I cannot compete with the girls. They're smarter. They talk faster. They know more words. They're more engaging. I can't look good. So boys around third or fourth grade, if they cannot excel academically, will make fun of academics. They make fun of school, make fun of studying. They become the class clown, the class bully, the class doofus. They'll do anything they can to get honor because They cannot get it academic if they can't compete with the girls. So all of a sudden you realize something. They need honor. Males need honor, ladies. You need to call those things to be not as though they are. You're going to have to help your men get honor. Number two thing men need is sex. Now, we're going to talk about that in the last session of this, but men need sex, ladies. They don't need roses or flowers or foreplay or a shower. They just need sex. It's kind of like the way they're made. That's why a man can cuss his wife out in the kitchen and 10 minutes later want to take her to the bedroom. And she'll think, you Neanderthal. And he'll think, what's that got to do with this? Because men, a male brain is like a mailbox. He can change mailboxes. He doesn't relate the things together. But a woman, everything's related. Everything she does. A woman goes into her bedroom, her whole life goes in that bedroom. Everything she's heard, said, thought, and felt for the last weeks going into that bedroom. And men don't understand that. That's why we're going to have to get to know one another. Third thing a man needs, he needs recreational companionship. Men grow by getting around other men doing what they're doing. More than a sermon, a man's provoked to good works by seeing another man better than him. Okay, he's a better father, better husband, better golfer, better fisherman. And what it does, it provokes us. A man's provoked to good works by seeing other men do things better than them. So ladies, it's good that he hangs around with other men. Now, if he's hanging around with a bunch of ignorant drunks, that's another deal. But most men get provoked by seeing other men do better. And the last thing a man needs is he needs domestic support. A man's home is his castle. And that's why it's not because he's a neatness nut. It's because it's honor. I bought that. Where is it? I don't want it buried or covered up or broke or messed up. Thing is, the needs of a woman are very different. Number one need of a woman is security. That's why women talk about their future. Men talk about their past. My honor's in my past. It's what I've done, where I've been, what I achieved. That's where my honor is. It's in my past. My honor's not my future, so very few men talk about the future. I mean, tell you about that deer I shot last year. Talk about that fish I caught last August, you know. Talk about that touchdown. Let's go back in 74. We talk about our past. Now, believe it or not, in Psalm 78, God made a law in Israel and said, I command the fathers to teach their children to the fifth generation about me and my ways and my works and my wonders and my miracles. In other words, men were commanded to talk about the past. Let me tell you how we got here. How God forgave us and saved us and blessed us and healed us and prospered us. We're commanded to tell our kids about what God's done in our past. But if you read the Proverbs 31 woman, the reason she was such a virtuous woman, she wasn't worried about her future. She wasn't worried about winter coming. She had clothes for the kids. She wasn't worried about paying her employees. She had money in the bank. Her business was doing good. Women talk about the future. A woman's like God. I tell you, I've been married 37 years. My wife does not care how much I loved her 37 years ago. It means nothing to her. She cares about how much I love her right now. You know what the Bible says about God? God says this, now faith is. God doesn't care how much faith I had yesterday. It doesn't impress him at all. This is a relationship. It's about now. What are we doing now? So a husband and wife will come together. She don't want to know how much money you made last week. A woman wants to know how much money you're going to make next week. Will I be secure? Are we going to be able to eat? Will we be able to fix my kids' crooked teeth? Will we get a nicer home? Will we have enough bedrooms? Going to be enough cars? A woman's number one need, guys, is security, designed by God. Number two need of women is affection. That's non-sexual touching, gentlemen, in case you don't know how a woman thinks. She thinks completely different than a male. And so affection is very important. Dr. Kevin Lehman wrote a wonderful book called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. He didn't say to have sex in the kitchen, although there's nothing against in the Bible. He's talking about sex begins in the kitchen, in the morning, with kind words and thoughts and deeds and conversation. Doesn't begin with just going in the bedroom and taking your clothes off. That's not how females work. It's inside. We'll get into that much later in another session, but we're very different. Women need security. Women need affection. Women need leadership. I've been designed by God. I've been called a helpmeet in Genesis 2. That's what a woman is. She's a helpmeet. I cannot help a man do something he's not doing. That's why the greatest need in marriage is for males to have a vision. That's what the problem with a soulmate marriage today. I found my soulmate. A soulmate marriage is like having a baby. If you're married to a soulmate individual, it has to be stroked constantly, petted, patted, wiped, burped, fed, put to sleep. Why? It will drain you. A soulmate relationship will wear you out because you've got to constantly nurture. What happens is you want a man who's got a vision from God. I'm going to do something, build something, start something, and I like a woman to come in my life and help me achieve this vision. I've got five daughters, and I've told them all through their life, if a man comes into your life and tells you you're the greatest thing since sliced bread and you're his vision, he thinks you can walk on water and raise the dead, and you're the greatest thing in his life, run from him. If you are the greatest thing in that man's life, that man has no life because you're his vision. and you're not that visionary. What's going to happen if 3 years into your marriage, you wake up one morning, you got the morning breath of a water buffalo, no makeup, you put on 40 pounds, your hair stands, he'll just leave you for another vision. You don't want to be the vision. You want to help him chase a vision. You want a man who has a vision bigger than you guys together, and he's chasing it. That's what a marriage is. It's about going together and building something, not just staring at each other your whole life. I just want to be with you forever. That's not going to work. That's going to get old. I would like to do something with you, build something. I do like you, but what are we doing besides staring at one another? And so I'm telling you guys, what a woman needs, she needs leadership. Where are we going? What are we going to do? And they don't care what it is. They don't care if your vision is to dig a ditch to China. What's your vision, honey? I need to dig a ditch to China. Well, let's get started. Where's the shovel? I'll help you. Because a woman's desire is to help her husband do something. She can't help her husband watch TV every night. Can't help you sleep on the couch and watch ball games all day on Sunday. You got to have some kind of vision for living your life. And one of the greatest frustrating things for women is that's why women start to take over the household. You know, it's part of the curse in Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve sinned, God came walking through the garden, started handing out judgment. Satan, you're going to crawl on your belly, eat dust off your life. Man, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Woman, you're going to have pain in childbirth. That sin brought judgment. But one of the things it said was, it said, woman, your desire is going to be to rule over your husband, but he's going to ruthlessly rule over you. I tell people, male chauvinism and women's liberation were not born in the United States in the 60s. They were born in the Garden of Eden thousands of years ago. Because sin makes people, instead of serving, you get selfish and paranoid. So what happens, instead of letting your husband I'm going to let him rule over him. He can't find his socks. He's stupid. I'm going to run this household. And you'll get up every morning, guys, you can't find your pants because your wife's wearing them. Because you won't take the lead. You won't lead like you're supposed to. And then the last thing that a woman needs is she needs honesty. I used to tell men in our men's retreats all the time, I said, you ever lie to your wife, you just soon get a .22 pistol and shoot one toe off. Because you're never going to stand level again. The Bible says in Revelation 22, all liars go to hell. Don't ever, ever lie to your wife. Don't lie to your husband. The only way out of a lie is the same hole you dug to make it. There's no shortcut out of a lie. You've got to flat out repent and back up out of that same hole. Tell the truth. That's why the Bible talked about Adam and Eve were naked, not ashamed. Doesn't mean they were running a nudist colony. It meant that their soul, they had nothing hidden between each other. And so what a woman needs is she needs security. Tell me about our future. What is it I've married you for? What am I going to help you do? Describe it to me. I need you to talk to me. And men have to cast vision. I need affection. I need you just to hug me and say nice words and compliment me and encourage me. I need you to wash me with the water of the word like the Bible says you should in Ephesians 5. I need you to lead me. I'm going to help you, but I can't help you do nothing. Lead me. Where are we going? Then I need you to be perfectly honest with me. How you feeling? What you're thinking? You're going to have to be open. So the needs are very different. Well, so are the job descriptions. And we'll close with this here today. Job descriptions are very different. All men are lovers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love means serving. My job is to serve my wife. That's what loving is. Number two, all men are leaders. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Is God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man's the head of the woman. Woman's over the children. Children are over the dog. Dog's over the cat. Cats over the mouse, mouse over the cheese. Pecking order in the kingdom of God. Now what that word there means is it means source. You can look it up, do a word study. God is the source of Christ. That's why Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. If you see me, you've seen the Father. When Jesus needed a donkey, his source, the Father, showed him where to go get one. When Jesus had 5,000 men show up for lunch with their families, his source, the Father, showed him how to take a boy's lunch and produce 5,000 Happy Meals for everybody. When Jesus needed tax money, his source showed him where the fish was. Jesus never panicked. I don't need it in the bank or in my pocket. If I need something, my source will show me how to get it. He will meet my need. Jesus then turns around to men and says, men, without me, you can't do a thing, but with me, all things are possible. That's what he's going to do. And then a man should turn around to his wife and say, honey, what do you need? I'm either going to go buy it or stop believing God for it. And the third thing is a man is a provider. 1 Timothy 5:8, any man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. He is as one who has denied the faith. I tell young men all over America, we travel outside breathing, you have one job, and that's to make money. That's your job, is to work and make money and provide. And God's going to show you how to do that. Ladies, your job is very different. Genesis 2:18, you're a helpmeet number one. You're to help your husband do what God's called him to do. So if he's not knowing what God's called him to do, it's going to be a challenge. Number two, 1 Timothy 5:14, you're to manage the home. That's why women need detail. Men aren't the head of the home. Women are the head of the home. I tell them, you think you're the head of the home? Try hanging that deer head in the living room. And then number three, Titus 2:4 says this, women, teach the younger women how to love their husbands, love their children. Those are the jobs we're going to go into in great detail in the next session, but God's going to show us how to build a great relationship in Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.